by my imperfect but sincere attempt not to demand, not to command, not to place myself first, not to gain something for myself, but rather to try to teach how to do something for other people by doing something for other people. I consider that to be what I am impelled to do in religious terms, and I do it in a secular context because this is America. Okay? If I were Haredi and doing this only for other Jews and only for other Jews who were completely observant, I would still be doing good, but the field of doing good would be very constricted as against the fields open to me for doing good in this country. I ought to put it another way. That dorm is as important as that hillel. And to put it another way, the teaching of evolution to 500 first-year students of all backgrounds is as important as the teaching of Steinsaltz to Christian seminary students. Now, all of those are acts intended to improve the probability of someone else thinking twice before acting badly, or to follow it in our textual terms. All of those are attempts to remove stumbling blocks from blind people instead of putting stumbling blocks in front of blind people. And if you think about that Torah statement, it's really brilliant. It says, don't put a stumbling block in front of somebody, and then don't trip somebody. It says, don't put a stumbling block in front of somebody who can't see it. It's too easy. No one will catch it. No one will know. So in other words, the deep meaning of it is, don't do the thing you can get away with because nobody will know. If it's wrong, it's wrong. So how do you teach that? The way you teach that in America is to not do that and to show people what it's like when you don't do that. To show students what it's like when you don't take advantage of somebody. When you don't get away with something. When you insist on doing things right even though no one would notice if you did them wrong. And how do you teach that? You don't teach it in class. You set up a center and everybody who works for me is a student at some level. And you give them authority and responsibility, and you watch how they act. And if they don't act well, you call them on it, even if they succeed. And if you ask anybody at the CSSR, names are there, and you've met a few, just ask them that. It isn't about the programs, it's about the process. And the process links all the programs, links the classes to the public seminars, to the university seminars. The topics are at the junction of science and religion because it's the safest place to act well. That's how I think. In other words, because good action is the topic, and because the natural world is the topic. So you act well but are grounded not in ideology, faith, or ritual. You act well and are grounded in nature.
So nature can teach us how to act
well. No, nature teaches us how to act badly, and that's why it's science and religion. We are not animals. The natural world offers no evidence that the question of acting well exists. It exists in the mental world in our species. It doesn't exist in nature. That's precise. This is precisely the right question. If the natural world had a bagel, a flag that said "do this," there'd be no religion. There'd just be moral animals. But the natural world's flag is survive,
which doesn't seem sufficient in and of itself.
It's sufficient to guarantee bad action. It's worse than
according to religious standards.
The question of what shall I do and why shall I do it, what ought I do, what's right, the question one should ask in one's head when there's nobody there to even hear it, that question doesn't exist in nature. What survives, survives. How it survives is not asked about, whether it survives cooperatively, whether it survives competitively. The state of nature and the mental world of the question of what's right and wrong are different places. My argument is a full toolkit for getting by requires knowing about the natural world and requires accepting the human burden of that question. So that's a topic in science and religion. That's why I say it's the safest topic, because you acknowledge both the natural world and the need to know what's right. Now, there are secular ethics. There's no question that the question of right and wrong doesn't require any canonical text. It doesn't require any religious observance. There's no doubt about it. But I will tell you that my experience is everyone who gets there without some religion is much tougher and smarter than me. I can't do it without the backup of a couple of thousand years of text and redaction of the text, reconsideration of the text, reinterpretation of the text in new context. And particularly, just to be absolutely clear about this, I could not, with a straight face, talk about acting well instead of poorly when the Holocaust happened in my own lifetime and killed out most of my family on all sides. I couldn't. I have complete agreement with Elie Wiesel that God just took off. Right? Nevertheless, as a Jew and as a human being, I won't walk away from those questions. But in the fact of the Holocaust, I need to be Jewish among other Jews. And I need to be Jewish in a serious, pious, simple-minded way, not analytically. I need to be Orthodox. I need not to negotiate whether this is too Jewish or not. I just need the backup of the past to get by. In the same way as I need that with Amy and my family to jump over the perturbation of my parents, I need the community in the largest way to jump over the bizarre perturbation of the Holocaust.